Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of the HB podcast. I'm your host, Dustin. Here with me, I got Ben.
Hello.
I got Phil.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel real good about the launch of the show. Thanks, everybody. It's been super, super great.
Super good.
Super duper.
A lot of people checking out our episode with Blake Harris, which has been really cool. A lot of, if you haven't listened to that yet, make sure you listen to that interview with Blake. A lot of bombshells.
Yes.
Not bombshells, but...
kind of bombshells.
Interesting stuff about Oculus and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Though, is anyone really surprised at Facebook doing some shady shit?
No.
Not at all.
Not even a little bit.
Did you see Aaron Sorkin said that it's time for the sequel to The Social Network?
Yes, I did see that.
It's
time for that movie,
that.
Yeah. That would be fascinating.
Honestly, The Social Network, forget the content.
Right.
The movie, the everything about it other than that. Mm-hmm. The content's good, too,
right?
Just the filmography.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Robbed of a lot of things that year.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I said, this is the HB podcast. This is the weekly gaming podcast from HandsomePhantom.com. We're happy you're with us. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Make sure to subscribe and hit us with a review. That helps us out a lot. Yep. Helps us tear up those charts, which we've been doing.
Yeah.
So, thank you. We really do appreciate it. So... guys, Phil, I'm going to start off with you.
I'm going to start here, huh?
Oh, what did you dream of this week?
Well, this week I dreamed that it was more of a nightmare.
Oh.
I dreamed that Bohemian Rhapsody won.
Oh, no.
Best Picture at the Golden Globes.
Oh, no.
And when I came to, I realized it actually was true. And this whole awards season has been kind of crazy. So it's been more of a nightmare than a dream. But I guess the good news is there's been a lot of good films this year. So,
maybe your dream can be that the Oscars will redeem some things.
I'm hoping, but I don't even know. Like, I thought they were going to. I started thinking that maybe they were going to. They were going to give some love to Black Klansman.
Yeah.
But it's missing out on some of the precursors itself right now. So I have no idea what's going to happen there.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah.
If there's justice in the world, it will do good there.
I don't know if there's justice in the world.
I don't think there is either.
Yeah.
If anything, Black Klansman shows us there might not be as
Phil,
much
I'm
justice
gonna,
in the world.
I'm going to drop a bombshell on you right now. I was thinking about movies the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, I don't know if I've truly seen a movie that made a big impact on me in maybe the last 3-4 years.
Wow, that's a bombshell.
I'm saying like big.
Right.
Like I was thinking, I feel like the last insanely good movie I saw was like Inside Llewyn Davis.
Wait, does making an impact mean it has to be an insanely good movie?
No, I don't.
What does making an impact
think,
mean?
Because here's the thing: like,
couldn't it
Spider-Man
be?
Was awesome.
Sure,
probably best anime movie of the year.
Absolutely.
I've already forgotten so much of that movie.
Right,
I just forget it. Like,
I
whatever.
Also think that's bullshit though, because Inside Llewyn Davis is what 5-6 years ago now, which means Your Name has come out since then. Which I feel like impacted you in some way.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's probably the last great movie I saw. Yeah.
But what do you mean by impact?
I don't know. It's what I feel like it is.
I know.
That's just what I'm saying.
I'm trying to just get a handle on that. Because there's movies you've talked about loving.
Yeah.
Does that mean...
Sure.
I mean, there
I'm
have
just
been,
saying that there's movies I love that I forget about.
Yeah, but you've seen great movies that have left... Okay, Hereditary. Mm-hmm. Just because it,
no, I don't.
It impacted you.
It impacted.
It impacted you for sure.
You're getting weighed down in the semantics.
That's
why
I'm asking. What are you saying?
I think you just need to take it for what it is and quit getting down and dirty with me.
I refuse.
This was a better year than most. Last year, not a great year for film. This was a pretty good year, though.
Phil, so
this is our video game podcast where we talk about film.
Well, here's the game thing I wanted to compare it to.
Right.
Okay. So Bohemian Rhapsody wins. What is the game analogy of this?
The game from 2017 or 2018?
Yeah,
let's
sure.
Think. The game analogy.
Is this like Black Ops 4?
No, because Black Ops is good and the director isn't a pedophile. let's think. let's
what you know of.
That I know of. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can compare Sean it to anything. It's true. They won't even say his name in a speech.
Wasn't it half? He directed half of it.
And then he quit, basically. He never returned to work, but he still gets directing credit. I don't know if there's a clusterfuck as bad as Bohemian Rhapsody in the game, but comparing it to something, what are some very average movies around the 4 to 5 star range, like out of 10? Yeah, it's sitting on Metacritic at a 49 right now. Yeah.
Well, we had a game that we had reviewed on our site that was a 5.
That was never a goatee, probably.
Yeah, but it was never goatee material.
Okay, okay.
But we're dragging this out, I suppose, a little. I don't know what I would compare it to, but it's just not good. But what's happening, especially in some of these precursors with less people, they get all pumped up on we will rock you and whatever other nonsense. And they're like, all right, the last 20 minutes, that's a concert. It's just like the real concert.
Oh.
Just watch the fucking concert. Right. Like,
yikes.
So, yeah.
Ben, what'd you dream of this week?
This week, I'm dreaming about a trip you and I are taking, Dustin. Mm. We're going to Honduras, and we're going down to a cigar manufacturer's area. I own a cigar shop, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But what I'm dreaming about, this is kind of weird. Is we're going to have a lot of like time just to kind of do whatever we want, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the plane ride.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about late nights sitting around the pool drinking.
Yep.
While we're playing our Nintendo Switches in a third world country.
Lots of Smash.
Smash Brothers. Local play.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's what I've been dreaming about. What about you, Dustin?
I told you guys about this in the Slack just a couple hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with CRT TVs right now. Uh-huh. I want to get a production video monitor. Someone's selling one locally. It's the only person in like, I don't know, 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
$500 for this old ass TV.
That seems excessive.
It's actually a very good deal.
Yeah.
But they look so good, dude. Everyone who has one says that they are like the top tier gaming experience that's pre like PS2 and under. But she can't do it. I am going to splurge.
Is that what you're dreaming about, though?
I'm dreaming of it because it's not happening.
Yeah. Here's what I know about you.
Yeah.
And I know it about you because I know it about myself because I'm the same way. In about 3 months, you're not going to be interested in super. I mean, not that you won't like them or have an appreciation for them.
Mm.
You're going to be on to a new thing.
Mm, probably.
And you'll be like, why did I spend all that money on a CRT that I'm never going to use again? That's taking up all this space in my house.
Mm. Yep. I did that about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I spent a ton of money.
I did it about 10 years ago. Yeah.
The thing is, though.
An arcade machine.
Nice.
I'm filling that hole in my heart because I am going to buy the Super NT, which is funny because I just did a video about why the original hardware is the best. And now I want to buy this clone console.
Yeah.
But that's basically going to feel like it's free because I'm selling a couple games.
Sure.
So that's it.
That's it.
All right, boys, let's get into the headlines. You know, guys, there wasn't a lot of things that happened this week, but definitely, like, if you had to lay out all these headlines, there's just stuff that you would not expect to read at all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start out with the big one, and that is Bungie and Activision splitting up.
Yes.
Bad breakup. I'm guessing it's a bad breakup.
It's... For who, though?
Who's
the bad breakup for?
I mean, it's it
worse
a bad
for Bungie,
breakup?
Probably.
I guess it's not a bad. It's a happy mutual. So, yeah.
If they can publish on their own, it's happy. I'd
say it's a. It seems like it's a bitter breakup. Might be a better way to
say
it.
Maybe a bitter breakup. Activision has this company that they essentially see as a noose around their neck or maybe a millstone around their neck, dragging them down.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting rid of that. Bungie is a company with a lot of potential who has a. a relatively small, I shouldn't say small when you're talking millions, but a relatively small player base that's very passionate. And given the right conditions, they're going to be able to make whatever they want to make without Activision telling them something else. So, like, maybe financially, it's not a great breakup. But as far as both parties getting off on a better deal than they could have had, it seems pretty good to me.
Before we go too far, I wanted to read you guys the official statement from Bungie. They said, "We have enjoyed a successful 8-year run and would like to thank Activision for their partnership on Destiny. Looking ahead, we are excited to announce plans for Activision to transfer publishing rights for Destiny to Bungie. With our remarkable Destiny community, we are ready to publish on our own, while Activision will increase their focus on owned IP projects." So, a lot to unpack here. First of all, obviously, we talked about the breakup, like Bungie, Activision, the partnership, no more.
Right.
So, but normally in a situation like this, you would see Activision retain the IP, right?
Right.
But it looks like, I'm guessing Bungie is shelling out some big dollars right now to own their own product.
Right.
So that's just, it's interesting, and I'm glad that that was an option for them. But you have to imagine this is an insanely high priced. I mean, Destiny, say what you will about its current, its ebb and flows, right?
Yeah.
But still an insanely huge property.
Yes. Oh, it's a huge property, and it's a big dollar thing game.
Yeah.
I mean, how many, was it $1 billion in marketing?
$1 billion. That's, well, that was never confirmed,
right,
but loosely confirmed many times.
So you have to imagine the only good thing that came from their relationship, as far as Bungie is concerned, is Activision's money. Mm-hmm. Everything else about Activision being there, probably their oversight, the way they wanted them to monetize the game in different ways that we didn't see them do with previous projects, everything about it, except for their money, was probably bad for Destiny and Bungie in general. So, and I would imagine a team like Bungie, yeah, I mean, they've got a history of working on one project and doing it very well, but they probably would have liked to branch out too.
Yeah.
And then when you're under Activision's thumb, they're like, you're making this money doing this, and you're going to keep doing that.
They could have made another game and then just kept building off of the original Destiny. Destiny 2 might have never came out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they would have split earlier.
Yeah.
I feel like
there was too much money there.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a bit of a chicken or the egg situation here, right? Yeah. You have Bungie, who underperformed in Activision's eyes, but I'm guessing that they'd say they underperformed because both games were released too early, with monetization practices that weren't favored by the community that I'm sure were mandated by Activision,
right,
with shitty DLC structure. So was the failing on Activision? Was it on Bungie? Was it on Bungie or was it on Activision for making them put this stuff in? You know what I mean?
I mean, I would say you can't take the blame entirely away from either one. There's probably some blame on both of them, but it's got to be on Activision, in my opinion, because Bungie was there to make a good game. Mm-hmm. Activision was there to make sure that that game made money.
Yeah.
That's their fiduciary duty. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. So Bungie's trying their best to make a good game. Now, whether or not they make a good game, in your opinion, is a different story, but that was their goal, whereas Activision says, we got to make sure it's profitable.
This story overall kind of, I mean, it doesn't remind me of, but it's similar sort of to how you have BioWare getting bought by EA, right? Which I guess this is different because I don't think Activision owned Bungie. This was just a partnership deal. But you see an amazing studio like BioWare get attached to a publisher, one of the big boys, and the quality degrade.
Right.
Slowly in BioWare's case. But if you look at Mass Effect Andromeda, of course, and now the upcoming Anthem, which, isn't out yet. So we'll give it to the benefit of the doubt. But there is some, it seems like trouble brewing, maybe.
It's not looking good to me.
So what do you guys think? Is it should these developers be looking to self-publish like Bungie's doing? Is there less value in a big name publisher like this now?
Probably a case by case situation.
Yeah.
For Bungie, that relationship just needed to end. But in their case too, they've already done that with Microsoft. So, you know, they might just not be able to play nicely. I don't know how that works out, but I don't think it's for everyone. I think you need a publisher still in most cases.
Well, and they stated they were ready to publish on their own.
Right.
I don't know if that means they're going to be self-publishing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if it means they're not going to have an overlord.
Phil, I think it's interesting what you said about you brought up Microsoft, mm-hmm. because Jason Schreier made a tweet that it was like, when Bungie made this announcement to their employees, there was like tons of cheering, hooting and hollering. Everyone was happy. And he then made another tweet and was like, and I should mention the exact same thing happened when they left Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So
it feels exactly the same, only this time they got to keep their product.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
which maybe this is just like the AAA struggle for developers, right? You need to have a publisher that can put up the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you are then shackled by them,
right.
With obviously Microsoft being shackled to a single franchise, and then with Activision and the monetization stuff right. like that. So,
yep,
definitely an interesting one. I'll be really curious to see what happens. Actually, before we move on, what do you think is next?
Well, first of all, I think sometime, not today, we should have a monetization discussion because I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah,
good and bad about monetization. Anyway, what's next? I think Bungie's probably gonna split into two projects.
Okay,
if I had to guess,
that's my guess too.
I don't think the problem though was that they didn't want to do Destiny.
No, I don't think so either.
One. Yeah,
but I think that if they're smart, and I think they are smart, at least business savvy, there's a noticeable fatigue with Destiny. You've got a very engaged player base, but everybody outside of that player base doesn't care. Mm. So you make the third Destiny game for the faithful, and you make something else that's going to be amazing.
And I think that third game is a ways off, though. I don't think you're going to see it anytime soon.
They're not going to rush it in 2 years.
No, because I think they have their year planned out for DLC this year already.
Yeah.
So they'll follow that path and then probably do some more DLC for 2. On their own, and then
you got to wonder how their roadmap on Destiny 2 is going to change now. Like,
well, they might have one now.
Yeah,
that might be nice. They might actually make a roadmap, instead of just having who knows what all over the place.
Huh?
Yeah, it's been a mess.
It really has been. I want to say I'm happy for them just because it always seemed rocky from the get go, and Destiny always felt like a game that was like just. It was so ambitious and just out of reach of something that was truly incredible and always like halfway there.
Right. Just beneath its potential.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Now maybe we can get that Marathon sequel.
Marathon? Dang, dude. What was that other one they did? Is it Uni?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Something. It was like a sci-fi Tomb Raider girl.
Right.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, this is...
Speaking of messes.
I don't even know what to say about this one. So Gearbox, their former lawyer, his name is Wade Callender. Last name Callender.
That's a sick name.
I thought that was interesting. He is suing Randy Pitchford. And basically he's suing them for because he says that Randy Pitchford received a secret bonus of $12 million. And that specifically that money was supposed to go towards employee salaries. And he somehow, you know, wiggled his way in to get that money for himself.
Where did they get $12 million recently? Or maybe this isn't recent. I don't know.
But that's a good question.
Recently, I don't know where they got $12 million.
Yeah. Very good question.
So what makes this well, I feel like I'm going to repeatedly say, what makes this more interesting? What makes this more interesting? So he's been sued. This guy, the lawyer, was sued by Gearbox a month ago for fraud and breach of fiduciary duty.
Mm-hmm.
So basically there's like a pointing match of no, you're a fraud between this lawyer and Randy Pitchford. Right.
Wait, the lawyer was sued?
Yes. A month ago.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like a retaliatory suing.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Which I don't think either court case is completed.
No,
I'm sure.
So it's like a counter-sue situation.
Right. Okay, I think I understand now. When I read this originally somewhere else, I didn't realize, but yeah, I get it.
So I actually – the direct quote here of what that lawyer guy is being sued for is Mr. Callender was he supposedly abused the privilege of the credit card access by charging unapproved, wholly personal expenses, including family vacations, gun club memberships, and firearm accessories, and trying to get six-pack abs.
That's all you need in life.
Yeah. It's an actual quote.
Guns, a family vacation, and those abs. Mm-hmm.
I mean, more power to him.
Yeah, yeah, well.
So part of him suing Randy Pitchford is also the fact that he said that Randy lost a USB drive that contained not only his own company secrets, but Xbox, PlayStation, all on this drive.
And I'll tell you, I've been to medieval times plenty of times.
Uh-huh.
I've never found anything like that.
Yeah, that's
I've
never weird.
Wrong been place, wrong times.
Time. Yeah.
Oh, it's fun.
I've only been once, but it was
yeah,
it was
I've
fine.
Been multiple times.
That's what it was.
They have a new show that just started this year. Really? So they
is there one near here?
Washington, D.C. Yeah. is probably the closest one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So along with the company secrets, it was said that it also had underage porn on it.
I don't know if it's underage, was it? Was
well, that's
barely
the,
legal
that's
18.
That's the accusation.
That's the accusation.
Is that it was actually underage? Okay.
Is that it was underage.
Okay.
And so Randy Pitchford has responded to this. He specifically responded to it on a podcast. And I'd like to read exactly what he said.
I probably should have read ahead before.
If you're sensitive, well, first of all, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. But
yeah.
Right.
So this is what he said in response to the underage porn accusation. He said, "It's a woman who is masturbating," Pitchford said. "And when she has some experience that appears as if she's having an orgasm, a huge amount of fluid comes out of her vagina." I forgot to mention, this is on a magician podcast.
Yeah.
Magician-focused podcast.
Yeah.
Abracadabra. Liquid.
Quote, "This is not a sex worker. This is a fucking magician," he added.
Which, there's the tie-in.
Yeah, there's the tie-in.
Yeah.
Saying he had purchased one of her videos and put it on the USB stick. Quote, some kid, an employee of medieval times, discovered the memory stick, took it home, and accessed it because it was before we were password protecting, and discovered secrets of my company and future games in development, and also discovered the pornography. And it was barely legal porn. The girl's handle was only 18.
Mm.
I saw a thing the other day that said all porn, everyone in porn is either barely 18 or a MILF. Those are the two ranges of.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can understand.
So I want to give credit to, of course, Jason Schreier. He's the one who dug up that podcast. A lot of that research was from Jason Schreier.
Yeah. Was that a recent? That wasn't a recent podcast.
I don't know because they didn't like. I'm trying to remember exactly what it is. It wasn't super. It was like 2 months ago.
Okay.
So it wasn't like last week. But so you got Randy Pitchford. He's in a medieval times. He's got his
he's eating his turkey leg with no fork.
Isn't there jousting or something?
Oh, yeah,
going
there's
on
jousting.
He's watching
some
jousting. Yeah. He just happened to have a USB drive with company secrets on him.
And underage porn.
And underage.
Well,
okay.
Unpassword porn, protected also.
Unpassword protected.
Uh-huh. Listen, if I was carrying around my underage porn and you know, a bunch of company secrets, why would you password protect that? Right. You're never going to lose it, right? You keep that under lock and key.
I mean, some of these things we get from developers and stuff at these conventions are harder to access than this.
That's true.
Porn
right.
secrets.
So
that Pitchford lost.
Just to put it out there, I don't carry around underage porn or even access it.
No. Okay.
Just making sure that was clear. No.
My question is, why was it on the same flash drive?
Why would it not be?
I tell you why. Because he had these secrets on him, and he was maybe a little drunk, a little high, and he found this porn that he wanted to save, and it was the closest thing to him. So he just
it's like, this
it
is
in.
My secret flash drive. I'll keep all my secrets on there. Like, everything.
Every secret.
All of his secrets are on there.
Every secret.
It just seems
Here's the thing.
Insanely irresponsible. Let's not even talk about losing it, but, like, I guess he's probably, you know, he's the CEO. Who's going to fire him? Nobody. So if he wants to put porn on his drive,
yeah,
it, Who's going to fire him, right?
But here's the thing. Is the Gearbox so boring right now that we don't care about the secrets? We don't care about one secret on this drive. We just care about the porn.
Well, did these secrets not get out?
If the porn did, the secrets had to. It's not password. I mean, this kid's sitting at home, and he knows the release date now of Borderlands 3. He has to.
Here's the thing. That podcast was 2 months ago, but I don't know how long this when this event was.
Right, okay.
But still, so, not one secret. I mean, something.
We've had some Gearbox leaks in the past few years, so it's not impossible.
Yeah, I suppose. Nothing good, though.
No.
So, joking aside, what I find interesting and horrifying about this story is accusing somebody of having underage porn is a very heavy accusation.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened, Randy Pitchford, his name was trending on Twitter, right? And I saw, like, you see the replies. It's like, oh, well, I guess Randy Pitchford's a pedophile, right? And so, I don't know. It very well might be true. You know, maybe the dude was. But it was like, on Twitter, the people had spoken, or at least many of the tweets I saw, and it was like, well, this is true because of this lawsuit being filed.
Well, everything that someone says one time is true.
Yeah.
He's probably all right, too.
Probably. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts about this?
Or a communist.
About that overall, like...
We live in a society where one false accusation, completely, entirely made up or 100% true, but one accusation can ruin someone's career. And there are certainly, don't get me wrong, their life for that matter, there are certainly lots of people who get accused of stuff and it's true and nothing ever happens and that's wrong. But there are other people who things are said and it's just taken out of context and now everybody thinks that about them.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be true. Now, don't get me wrong, sounds like either way Randy Pitchford is not a great guy.
Yeah.
Potentially. Like losing company secrets and carrying around at least young person porn and talking about it on a magician podcast. Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird, but anyone that has a cell phone is carrying around porn with them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean he's a criminal, though.
Right.
I want to be clear.
Or a pedophile.
Right. Yeah. I want to be clear that I think that clearly the work needs to be done to investigate and see if there's any grounds to these claims. I'm not saying that we shouldn't at least give merit to these accusations. I think it's completely fair to be looked into.
Sure, yeah.
Right? But I hate that it's like, and it very well may be that, isn't Randy Pitchford like kind of a divisive industry figure already as it is?
Yeah.
So I guess I understand why. It frustrates me overall. But I don't know. It's interesting. Ben, I don't know a lot about how suing each other works. I just don't understand the like, oh, well, you sued me. Well, I'm going to sue you.
Well, I understand it. I don't know that it's a good thing.
Okay.
But I do understand why people would do that. You know, this guy, they probably had like a little wink and a nod towards each other that, okay, look, you do whatever. Just go ahead and charge that family vacation to your credit card, Mr. Lawyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the meantime, anything happens, we just won't talk about it.
I didn't even think about it. Like, what if this is like, maybe the lawyer got caught and now he's in trouble. And so he's like, well, if I'm getting caught for this, then.
Right.
So is he, because he also did bad stuff.
Yeah. I mean, suits and countersuits happen all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we're probably not going to get too far into it, but like Red Dead Redemption now is getting sued by the Pinkerton group, Pinkerton Society, and so they're suing them back.
Yeah,
like that's just how things work, because that's a lot of times in court, unless there's another pending lawsuit, that lawsuit will settle or something.
Any final comments about this crazy story?
It is not what I dreamed of this week.
Yes. No, it is not.
Not one bit.
The last one I have is not super sensational, but I do find it interesting.
It's a good segue, though.
It is a good segue. Yeah. Catherine Classic is now on Steam.
Yeah.
And this was an interesting moment when this was revealed, because it was to much fanfare and also a lot of people poo-pooing it, because this is the – it's not the new remastered full-body edition.
But it's the first time it's ever been on PC.
True.
Right.
So,
which is weird.
It's like, hey, we're releasing this.
Yeah.
But we're not going to say whether or not we're going to release Full Body on Steam. So you should buy this, and maybe which is you'll coming eventually soon, get screwed. Right?
Full Body's coming soon.
It's supposed to come out this year, localized. It's coming out definitely this year in Japan, but end of 2019 in the US. So
right.
We'll see, though. Weird usually timing. Those Atlas games get delayed in localization. So.
And they almost sucked me in because when I saw it was for sale, I hadn't been paying attention, but it's a game I've never played. And I was like, oh, I'll pick it up on Steam. Why not?
Sure.
No, I'm not getting that version.
I heard that there was some shady business that the game, they're like, it runs at 60 FPS. Mm-hmm. But so if you run an FPS counter on the game while you're playing it, it'll say 60. Right. But like all the animations are in 30. Like everything's in 30. Huh. But the game technically runs at a clock 60. It's weird.
Probably just had to rush it out so that when Catherine comes to Smash, it's Catherine. Popular again.
Dang. Yeah. So clearly this says to me that Persona is coming to PC.
Yeah.
More than anything else. I think Sega saw the success of Yakuza on Steam.
Yep.
And now they're like, hey, let's dip our toe a little further in. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'd love to see Persona 3 and 4 on Steam. I'm guessing Persona 5, though, is going to be the first.
Oh, yeah. They'd be silly not to release the newest property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that's it for the headlines.
There we go.
Let's go ahead and move on. I got a little game for you boys. This is the first ever game for you here on the HB Podcast. I'm very excited about it. I need you guys to potentially, get out your phone and get out your calculator.
Okay.
Because you need to keep track of your score here.
Okay.
And I'm not going
to. I already have 100.
I'm not going to track your score for you.
I got zero.
So play by the honor system.
Okay.
I got to tell a little story.
If we don't, people will call us out listening.
So, Phil and Ben, you guys are both teenagers, a fresh 18, 19 years old.
Wow.
And you're an employee.
That was a long time ago.
Gearbox?
At GameStop.
Oh, okay.
Which I made this game because GameStop is potentially being sold. Right. There's an article today on handsomephantom.com.
There is.
From our pal Dave about GameStop not surviving. So one day, you're both working. Well, it's actually not one day, one night. And a storm is rolling in. The wind's blowing, trees going down, lightning cracking, and the power goes out.
Boy, we have like a mist situation on our hands.
The systems shut down, but then they come back on, but there's no internet.
Oh, no.
So you no longer have access to the system.
Close up shop.
You no longer have access to the system.
Okay.
And there's still a lot of shoppers in the mall. We'll say it's the mall GameStop. And so they're coming in and they want to trade in some games. Mm-hmm. And your manager is an asshole. And he says, you need to get these trades through. Okay. You should know what the numbers are.
Wow.
This is obviously ridiculous and clearly only something I'm saying for the sake of this game.
Right.
But.
Because in reality, they would just try to sell you their membership.
They would just say they can't do trades right now.
And then they would try to sell you their membership.
Exactly. Yeah. And buy a warranty on
and
a cartridge.
And pre-order a game. Yeah.
So I've got some games for you boys. I'm going to be a customer coming in. And I'm trading in the game. Okay. And you need to give me some GameStop credit back for it.
Okay.
I have the actual numbers of how much GameStop will give you as of yesterday.
Okay.
Of how much they'll give you. So at the end of the day, you want to make more money for GameStop.
Okay.
Or, well, I guess you just want to be as close to theirs as possible, right? So... does everything make sense? Whoever has the, let's see.
So we're not going to say how much out loud. We're just going to add it up. And at the end, whoever
has
the
grand total for all these games.
Well, I was thinking that we would go over the amount and then you would add it to your total.
Sounds good.
Like, let's say I have.
This is a very honor system driven game.
Let's say I say this isn't one of them. Ocarina of Time.
Right.
And Ben gives 20 and Phil, you say 30. And it's,
it sells for $120 probably right now.
And it's $25.
Right.
Then one of you would get a minus five.
Okay.
And one of you have a positive five.
Gotcha. And that's what we're keeping track of is the positive, the plus minus.
Yes.
Okay.
I gotcha. Totally.
So does this all make sense?
It makes sense.
I thought about this in my head and I tried to tell Holly about it and she She understood, but she wasn't excited about it. And I think this is a really fun game.
I think it's fun too.
I think it's fun
Do
too.
We and have it's to gonna say it at the same time.
No, you have to. I guess we don't have pens. I was gonna say each one.
We're grown adults here.
You're grown adults. Wait, you have to.
I'll be
have
honest.
To say
I'll go
it,
second. I'll be honest about
but
it.
But don't change your number. Right. Or you're in trouble.
Perfect.
Wait. I think it's funny that you said, I'll be honest, and I'll go second.
Called my bluff.
Okay. So I'm here to trade in a game.
Okay.
It's Red Dead Redemption 2.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to get a new game. How much you giving me?
I'm going to say $22.
Damn it. That's my 22 exactly was my pick.
The actual price you'll get from GameStop is
$30. $30. That's incredible.
So
good.
So we made $8.
$8. Nice.
$8. Okay. The next one. These ones are easy. These are more start with
the recent
titles.
Are we rounding
to
the nearest dollar?
Yeah, we'll round to the nearest dollar.
And I'm going to be honest, too. If it's the same thing, I'll tell you it's the same thing. Like, okay. I'm not going to be like, wow, you picked 22, so I'm going with 23.
Yeah.
So, hold on. I want to make sure we're clear. Like, the goal is to be as accurate as possible,
right.
Not necessarily to rip someone off and get
it.
Right.
I know.
No. Okay. I'm surprised that one's going for 30 right now.
Oh, wait. So what score did we get with that?
You each...
we gave them $22. So does that mean we actually are $8 up?
We're $8
up. You're $8 up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Your goal is to end with zero.
Nice.
Okay. So from now on, I'm just giving everyone a dollar.
No, then play the game the way we're supposed to.
All right.
Next one. God of War 2018.
Oh, man.
Okay. I need to get Kingdom Hearts, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to go? Do you want to switch it up?
Yeah. $15.
I say 11.
The actual price is... $13.
Ooh.
Only 13 schmackers for game of the year, everybody.
So that puts me up to and Phil down to.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you think about it, they're probably selling God of War for what, 20
bucks? I mean, I bought it.
That's actually pretty decent.
Well, I think it was 20
on Black Friday.
Yeah. But I think it's 30 regularly, I think.
Okay.
Could be wrong.
All right, guys. How much are you going to give me for Zelda Breath of the Wild?
Oh, man. I'll go first this time.
Okay.
I'm going to say like $32.
Okay.
I'm going with 20.
GameStop will give you a cool $30.
Wow. Ooh. My goodness.
So I lost two there.
Sorry for another clarification, but I want to say this is all in GameStop credit.
Right.
Not cash.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And then not with the pro card.
Okay.
So I gave him 32. It's only worth 30.
I was way off.
Next one. Bubsy, Return of the Woolies.
I didn't know there was a physical copy.
For PlayStation 4. How much you getting for that gem?
$4.
This is clearly a middle-aged mom with her kid.
$4.
Okay.
I was going to say $3.
$7.
$7. Oh, okay.
So not too bad. How's our scores looking?
You know, I really don't know what the reality, what it's supposed to be, but I'm up $12 right now.
I'm up $13 right now.
All right.
Okay. Next one. Job Simulator. The physical disc.
If I knew what it retailed at normally, that'd be easier, but...
I tried to mix in. Some of these are out of print.
Yeah.
So I'll say that.
I'll go $10.
Okay.
Might be steep.
My gut reaction was $8.
It's $20.
What?
Wow.
Good job, Phil.
Wow. That's out of print, I guess.
It is out of print.
So, yeah.
Wait, what do you mean good job? Didn't I just make $12 for the store?
The goal I said is to be as accurate to the actual amount.
Right. I understand.
So you don't want to rip people off, and you don't want to lose money for GameStop.
Right. But what's my score for that? If I guessed 8, and it's 20.
Plus 12?
I'm not a smart man, guys.
I know, but you made the game up. I would have actually, if they took that, I would have actually made the store an additional $12.
Yeah, so that's how we're doing it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Next one.
I added 10.
Okay.
Since I said 10.
Added 12, yeah. I'm not sure if we're right, but this is how we're playing it.
Next one.
This is a fun game.
It's still a fun game.
So you know.
Well, these ones are the low balls.
Yeah.
It'll get a lot more interesting here at the end. Next one is Halo the Master Chief Collection. This is an old one, right?
Yeah, it is.
This was a pack-in game for the Xbox One.
But they sold it separately too, right?
And they sold it separately,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I bought it separately.
Also, you have to remember, huge online troubles.
Yeah.
So you have to imagine some people traded this in. Ben?
Am I first? I'm going to say six.
Six.
The actual price is $17.50.
Get out of here.
Wow. I could not believe that.
That's crazy.
So good on GameStop.
Wow.
So that puts me up another $11.50.
Next one.
Your game is fun, but it's broken.
It is a little broken. But
because if you just lowball people, you win.
Well, it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
You get a billion points for that one.
What I should have done was whoever had the closer score gets a point.
Yeah, that's probably.
We're too far in now.
Somebody go back and listen and tell us who won.
Okay. Next one. Killzone Shadowfall. Launch PS4 launch, title.
Yep.
Phil.
$3. $3.
Okay.
I'd say seven.
75 cents.
Wow.
For Killzone Shadowfall. Wow.
That's like Madden 15 prices right there. 75 cents. I was over at $3.
Yep. 75 cents.
That's still more than Madden, though.
Probably.
Okay. So these have all been modern games. Let's take a step back in the past.
Let's also say that's a good-ass game. People didn't appreciate nearly enough. For a launch title.
For a launch title.
For a launch title, it was a good game.
What does that mean?
It means
usually
I liked
titles
it.
Are ass.
But nobody else did.
Right.
So I have to say, for a launch title.
For a launch title, okay.
Next one is Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, boy.
Now, I will tell you guys, usually around $150 for this cart on eBay.
Right. How much does GameStop sell it for?
I don't know.
You know, okay.
I feel like I saw it was like it might have been around 150. I can look real quick for you guys.
That's all right.
It's best not to know.
Yeah, I think it's
best not to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I up first?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say they'll give you a cool $40 for it.
I was going to say 75.
75. GameStop will give you a cool $22 for Chrono Trigger. $22.
Oh, no.
So,
wow. Holy cow.
So I'm down to.
Think about it like this.
I've only made $11.25 so far.
You come in.
I just lost us. I was like 50-some dollars off there.
You got a copy of Job Simulator and Chrono Trigger. They're like, oh, Chrono Trigger, we'll give you an extra $2 on that one.
Oh, wow. Man.
Next one.
Boy, I just got fired.
Also an expensive game, Castlevania Symphony of the Night for the PlayStation 1.
Oh.
PlayStation 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Symphony of the Night on PlayStation 1. The OG. Let's say it's
Sultan.
Let's say it's the black box. Well,
the black box.
It was the green box, but they're both. It didn't have two different ones.
Okay.
But the picture they had was green.
Okay.
But they, like I said, no difference in trade-in.
Jeez.
Who's up first?
Phil's up first.
I'm going to say 15 if Chrono is only getting 22.
Ben?
17.
$12.
Wow.
For Castlevania Symphony of the Night, a game that regularly retails over $100 on eBay. Okay, here we go.
So they're giving that's amazing that they are giving better trade-in values for newer, less rare games.
I think it has to do with why people come to GameStop.
That's true.
So next one. Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo.
That's like really prevalent, right?
Is it? This is the standard, not the Super Mario All-Stars version.
Okay. Oh.
Who's up?
$12.
Yeah. Ben?
They should give $195 for that cartridge.
18.
18?
GameStop. Oh, no. I see the smirk on your face.
$2.
I hate everything.
For Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo.
Well,
I'd like to give you the greatest thing ever made. Here's $2 for you, kid.
Remember.
Nope.
Bubsy is worth more than Super Mario World.
I didn't even know there was a physical copy of that one.
Here's the lightning round. Not lightning, but the final three. It's the final countdown here. Hmm. We're going hardware.
Oh.
If you bring in an Xbox One X, I'm bringing it in, guys. How much you giving me?
$220.
$220?
$199.
$170.
Wow.
For an Xbox One X.
I just lost $50.
Next one. I guess I didn't think about how much this would.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Before Black Friday, I priced one because I was thinking about trading it in.
Yeah.
And it was like $220. So it dropped after Black Friday for sure.
Yikes. I have a working Super Nintendo here.
Yeah.
How much you giving me?
I'm going to say like $8.
$20.
Phil, right on the money at $20.
Well, I just made 12 somehow. So.
Finally, the PlayStation 2. This is a fat boy PlayStation 2.
Okay.
How much?
the same $20.
Okay.
I'd say 25.
GameStop will give you $5 for a fat PlayStation 2. And that's it for the game.
Wow.
How are your non-relevant numbers doing?
I'm fired.
You're fired?
Because I lost GameStop $77.75.
I hit clear right before that last one, but I know it was at, I know where it was. Like $62. I lost $62.
Yikes.
So I technically won, but we both lost real bad.
Bad. If it weren't for that 75, I tried to give Chrono Cross.
That's right.
Chrono Trigger. Been a little better off.
Chrono Did you Trigger. Just say Chrono Cross?
My bad. My bad.
Phil, you're
my
fired. Bad.
So,
boy, that game sucked. What a terrible sequel.
The moral of the story is
that was a fun game.
Yeah.
That just was the rules game. Were a little confusing.
I'm sorry.
But maybe that's because we're dumb.
I'm a newly minted game maker.
I think that Phil and I were just dumb.
So I will try to.
Well, I hit one of them on the nose. So I'll give myself the victory. 1-0 on.
Pretty sure I hit one of them on the nose, too.
I don't know about that.
One of the early ones.
Yeah. The moral of the story is
we'll have to check the tape.
Don't trade in, especially those old games.
Don't trade in anything. Don't trade in anything.
Don't
keep everything.
Keep everything. When I got my Wii, I traded in my Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and
my gosh,
to buy a bunch of Wii stuff. Stupid. You know what I got? Probably like Call of Duty 3, Madden.
Yikes. Hey, 13. You know what I just found out? Back when I was young and stupid, I got Super Mario Sunshine when I bought the Wii from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I traded it in the GameStop. I think they gave me something that was reasonable, but not. Terrible. Game. I didn't really like that game at the time.
Oh, it's so good.
We were at a game store the other day. Dustin and I were at a vintage game store, and he told me that Sunshine sells for like $80 to $90 now.
Mm.
Dang it. I have a small thing I wanted to tell you I found really interesting. I've got a couple rare Super Nintendo games I'm trying to sell because I want to buy, like I mentioned, the Super NT. A guy on Craigslist said, hey, I'll buy your games, and I'll give you more than game stores will. I thought, okay, I'll hit him up, show him what I got. I sent him that I had Ninja Gaiden Trilogy and Breath of Fire 2, which is like 50 or 60. And I said, are you still buying games? I have these. He said, I'll give you $10.
What?
I said, that's way too low. Sorry.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no, he said $20. And then he upped it to 30.
Yeah.
I said, sorry, I can't take any low balls. I understand what the value is.
Yeah.
And he responded saying like, well, I can't give you 80% of the value of the game. And I said, yeah, but you offered me less than 13% of the value. And you said you would pay more than game stores.
He probably was.
Probably more than the game store would give you for it.
I mean, here's the thing.
Which is nonsense. I mean, you don't have to take that.
Even looking at like East Starland or something, which is a game store that you can mail your stuff to, they give me like at least $60 for a Ninja Gaiden Trilogy.
Right.
So. And then I was like, I can't take less, that's less than 13%. And you said you'd give me more. Sorry for wasting your time. Have a good day.
Yeah.
He's like, don't you know how negotiations work? Do you think I'm going to give you my best price up front? I'm like, I get it. That's how negotiations normally work.
Right.
You said that you were specifically giving decent amount of money.
Right.
And then you tried to like lowball me. So
yeah,
screw off, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's
You're
get,
clearly a con artist here.
Clearly.
I mean, I had to try to get them from you somehow.
Yeah. It's like I saw Super Metroid for $55 at the Game Exchange. Not so good there, but
no.
I mean, it's available. It's there.
Yeah.
So why not? Let's go ahead and move on to the write-in portion of the show.
Hey, before we go to the next part, I got two things for you. One, I have a copy of the game What Never Was on PC, courtesy of Ak Hallgren. Phil reviewed this game last week. It's up on handsomephantom.com. PC, I assume this is Steam. I'm thinking it's Steam. The code for What Never Was is WZLK46RFVRBJNFP. Go check that out right now, and there's a free game. We have three copies of Guacamelee 2.
Hell yeah.
For the Nintendo Switch. We are running a giveaway right now on our website. You can either check out our Twitter where you can find it, or you can go to handsomephantom.com and look for the giveaway article. I had a really quick, easy link, but I forget what it was, and maybe we'll put it in the show notes, but if we don't, sorry, just have to go look for it.
It's easy to find. Just go to handsomephantom.com. You'll find it.
Three copies of that, so you got a good chance.
Did we hear from anyone last week? Did they?
Yeah, we heard from a couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good, cool. Good, good.
Did you redeem any of them, Phil?
No.
Did you try?
I didn't have a pencil. There's no pens on this table.
So, some writing questions. Here we go. The first one. Are you excited for the Sonic movie? Mm. What do you think of his beefy, hairy legs? What would make a good Sonic movie?
I'm not excited, and I'm not excited. I guarantee I will watch it. I don't know that I will rush to theaters to see it.
I'm not watching this.
I won't
waste my time.
I see those hairy legs.
No.
You know, I'm going to say this too. I see the fuzzy Pokemon. I want to throw up directly onto my dick when I see that.
That's specifically extreme.
I don't like it. I mean, Sonic, I will reserve full judgment until we see a teaser, right? A full teaser trailer. But
all that I know is, and I'm going to go back to the Golden Globes again. I'm watching the Golden Globes. They got a bit with Jim Carrey. He's there being nominated for Kidding, which is a terrific show. Uh-huh. First class, you know. And he's talking about Sonic. And he's like, because he was sitting in the TV section, so they were moving him, you know, he was sitting with the movie section, I apologize. But he was there for a TV show, so they made him go back and sit with the common TV folk. And he's like, well, I'm in a movie next year. Haven't you seen the Sonic trailers yet? And I'm like, oh, Jim, go further away, further away.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, there is a lot of talent in this movie, but I'm not going to go anywhere near it.
Both, I feel like it feels cash grabby right now.
Is it, though? Like, who cares about Sonic right now?
Our friend Kevin, a couple years ago, I believe it was him that said this. Kevin, you can confirm or deny this to me. He was saying how he was excited in the future because you would see the 90s generation getting old enough that they were directing movies. And they're the ones that are deciding what kind of content comes out.
Yeah.
I think he was right because we're starting to see some of that trickle in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think we're getting good and bad. And specifically, this is the bad.
Oh, whereas this is definitely the bad.
You saw the cash grabs of more 80s culture
right.
10
right.
years ago.
Right.
And now we're seeing the cash grabs of 90s culture. And this is one of them.
If you're going to do this, though, I would rather see this like a red versus blue situation where it's just like Sonic clips from the game, maybe with just him like yelling things at Tails while he's running through Green Hill Zone or something like that.
That would have mass market appeal.
Though. It wouldn't, but neither will this. I mean, this is not.
This is. I think this movie is going to do better than we think it will.
I don't think
it's going to be better. I don't think it's going to be better than we think it will be.
I think it's going to be on par with the Ratchet and Clank movie.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. I think that a Sonic movie that is fully CG animated, I could get behind. If it's done properly, maybe it wouldn't be
right.
But live action,
it's the Smurfs all over again.
Yeah, they did a good Smurfs movie though. I heard the one with Dwight as Rainn Wilson.
Yeah.
I guess as a Gargamel.
Right.
I heard that one's good. So maybe something like that. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a Sonic now that they're doing the live action. It'll be like Smurfs. A couple years, we'll get.
I just don't want CG. I honestly don't want any. I want my video games to be video games.
I agree.
And that's fine. I don't want my movies to be video games, and I don't want my video games to be movies. Everyone's, you know, got a chub over this new director on board for Uncharted. I just let it go. I don't want it.
Don't care.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. If they like video games, I don't give a shit.
Right.
The best video game movies are ones that are passively about video games.
Right.
Like Scott Pilgrim.
Yes. Right.
So.
Yeah.
Which isn't really about a video
game. No, it just sort of is a video game.
Yeah. The movie is kind of a video game. They made a video game out of the movie, which was very good, actually.
It was actually really good. Yeah. Yeah. I need to pull out my 360 and play that again.
We have 13 minutes.
I know.
Okay.
I
just want to make sure.
We're going to skip this question because we don't need to take up the time. So let's move on to In One Tweet. This is the part of the show where you follow us on Twitter. We put out a question every week that you need to respond to, of course, in one tweet. And we'll read it here on the show and try not to make fun of you. But we might.
We might.
Specifically, I'm going to make fun of Phil because not only did he write in to his own show's question. But, well, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself again like last week. The question was, Super Nintendo games are rumored to be coming to the Nintendo Switch. In one tweet, tell us what games you'd like to see on the service and why. Phil, you put in Bubsy 2, and you're out of the podcast, so leave.
Look, nostalgia means everything to me. I know it's a bad game, but I want to play it again. And I don't care.
Honestly, Phil, I played the first Bubsy when I was a kid on Sega Genesis.
Yeah, me too. Not nearly as good as two.
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I remember it being extremely frustrating.
Extremely frustrating. I never beat Bubsy 2. I'll tell you that right now. I never beat it. And I think that's part of why I want to go back and play it.
It feels like a lot of the games I had at Super Nintendo like were just really hard.
Yeah.
Even for like adults. Like Zombies Ate My Neighbors was a game I had. That game is so hard.
And this is why movies should not be video games and vice versa. If I would go based on the video game, I would think that The Lion King ends with a stampede. And that's not how you want to end in that story.
Right. No.
You want to actually know what happens.
That
later.
Game's so hard too.
It's horrible.
And the Aladdin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jungle Book. Insanely hard.
Capcom classics.
Yep. Okay, let's go over some of the real responses here.
It's a real response.
Sorry, Phil. The goal was for you to share it here on this podcast, you know, as a group, because I'm going to ask Ben, and then I was going to share, but you're out now.
Wow.
Adam Redding says, Flashback. I had not heard of this game. Phil, do you know about this game since Super Nintendo?
No, I've not played it. I've not played for Flashback.
I watched a little video of it. It's like one of those more cinematic platformers where it like looks really heavy. Uh-huh. The jumping looks awkward, but I don't know. Looks interesting. Mike Lopez says, obviously, and a picture of Chrono Trigger. And that's my response too. Chrono Trigger, clearly. Right. I feel like that's a game I want to dive into. I bought the copy here, but, you know, if it was on Switch,
right,
it'd be so portable.
And I feel like both those boys have better taste than I do. So Flashback's probably really good.
Mm.
So if they're putting Flashback and Chrono Trigger and I got Bubsy.
Well, here's the thing I'm going to say. I like how neither one of them provided the second part of the question, the answer to the
second
part
either.
Of the question, why. I assume that Mike response did give an answer. To why is obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So,
yeah. Right. If you listen to them, though, Mike does struggle with the tweets. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Dave Lambden says, Uniracers, because of the soundtrack. Never played Uniracers, but it looks really fun anytime I see gameplay of it.
Apparently it sounds good.
Yeah. Alex O'Neill says, no question, A Link to the Past, the greatest of all time.
Wow.
It is known as one of the greats. I cannot confirm that because I have not fully played it. All the way through, I have not.
I thought you had.
No. Trevor Starkey says, ActRaiser, because it's ActRaiser. I think we gotta ban these because obviously answers. Sorry, right. Trevor. Sorry, Mike.
Right.
But sorry, we need Phil. Full explanations.
Right.
ActRaiser, a 2D game that's like a side-scroller but also has the town building. Very interesting. I've not played that. Finally, Caesar Palafox says, Chrono Trigger. It triggered, triggered a passion on me. For the genre, for completing stuff. I think there's an extra comma there. Sorry, Caesar. For completing stuff, and it's opened my eyes to what games could be. Hmm. Sounds like I got to play Chrono Trigger, guys.
You need to play everything on this
you
list.
You do, yeah.
I know, dude. I told you, Super. I didn't have it growing up. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm in bed with it now, if you know what I'm saying. Ben,
yeah.
What game would you have on the service?
I've got two. Can I give two?
You can give two if you can say them in the amount of time one would.
That's not fair. Turtles in Time and Super Mario RPG. Mm. Because Turtles in Time, I can imagine multiplayer on the Switch with Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
And Super Mario RPG because it's the perfect game for the Switch. You can pick it up. You can put it down. You don't have to. Like, it's not action driven. It's great.
See, I was also trying to think of things not on the classic. So
yeah.
Hmm. But
okay, Phil.
Well, I mean, that's why I would have gone with. That's a great answer, is what I'm saying. Yeah, but yeah. I was trying to think of.
Were Turtles in Time on?
No, Turtles in Time was. I just RPG.
Mario but
RPG
Hyperstone was. Heist was. Mm. Well, no, that was Genesis. No.
Genesis.
Okay, Genesis. Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. I was thinking. I heard you say it on the classic, but then I was thinking about consoles
on the SNES right? Classic.
So
yeah,
my choice, even though I already said Chrono Trigger, is Booger Man. Mm. Did you ever play Booger Man?
Never played Booger Man.
Have you heard of this game?
I was too busy playing Super Off-Road the Baja.
Hey, I have a third answer that's not real, but it's totally true. Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim. That's another game that is cool, but insanely hard.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Super hard. Do you remember the first boss is like a dude in a junkyard, and he's like barfing like junk up at you?
Yes.
What were they thinking?
Have you played any of the rest of the game? It's all like that.
I know it's all like that.
Yeah.
And then there's the level, I think, where you're literally in hell.
Oh, man.
I'm having Y2K flashbacks because that all sounds like stuff that could have been in that game.
Did you ever watch the cartoon for Earthworm Jim?
No.
The cartoon, I loved it. There's a very limited amount of episodes. I had it on VHS, though. Yeah.
Hey, when most of you are hearing this, Phil just mentioned the Y2K game. When most of you are hearing this, if you're listening on Wednesday, his review of the game that's coming out the next day is out for Y2K. So check that out on handsomephantom.com.
It's going to be huge.
Huge.
And that's it for this episode of the HP Podcast. Thanks for joining me, boys. I feel like this is very good. Very strong good. Already. I feel like, you know, I've started a couple podcasts now. I feel like it takes a couple episodes to get in the flow.
Yeah.
But we've got, I feel like the flow is already here.
We've been podcasting together already, so that probably helps.
That probably does help.
Yes, it does.
So as I mentioned earlier, make sure to subscribe to this show.
Uh-huh.
Leave us a rating and review. That helps us out a lot.
Uh-huh.
Also, tell a friend about it.
Yes.
And let them know.
Post one of our episodes on Reddit if you think it's a nice episode.
Honestly, that would be incredible. Post it on Reddit, because when I post stuff on Reddit, they always take it down and say I'm self-promoting, because I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be super appreciated. If you want to help the show financially, but you don't want to give us money, you can do that by shopping on Amazon and using our affiliate link. It's handsomephantom.com/Amazon. Buy what you normally would. We take a couple pennies from Jeff Bezos. Or as Donald Trump would say, Jeff Bozo.
Heaven knows he's going to need those pennies.
He's going to need them for that divorce. Yeah. So,
did you hear the $69 million is the settlement?
Nice.
What an appropriate billion. I'm sorry,
oh,
$69
billion. Okay, yeah.
But specifically, they went for the $69 billion.
That's less than half.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
and
very,
they started it together. So.
I think that she picked that number like on purpose, just to shout out to his infidelity.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be a bonus episode coming this Friday that we are about to record, but as the rule goes, you don't announce it until it's in the can. So the plan is for an episode Friday. If there's not one, then something has gone wrong in the next 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes. So
it's possible.
We'll just leave that out there. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/handsomephantom. You can join our Discord, handsomephantom.com/discord, and also sign up to win the games.
Yes.
Guacamelee, fantastic game. I reviewed it. I think I gave that a 9, right?
I was very near a 9 if you didn't.
It was I'm pretty sure it wasn't a 9.5, but it was a 9. Nice. Fantastic game. I recommend it. Boys, any final words?
I think I've said about everything I had to say, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
My only final word is don't mix your porn with the business. and don't leave it in a medieval times.
Maybe a password if you're going to.
The only thing that would have been better, I mean, if it was like a Chuck E. Cheese or something that he left
Chuck
it at.
Chuck E. Cheese.
But
all it's right. Hard to get into a Chuck E. Cheese in a strip
it
club.
Is, yeah. if I were to if I were to get a flash drive and it was password protected, I'd just throw it away. Because that's how intimidating passwords are to me. I'm not going to crack it.
If he had a password on it, it'd probably be something like these nuts, you know, based on what I've read about Randy.
Yeah. Barely 18.
Barely 18 is the password.
Oh, man.
All right. We'll see everybody next week.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.